But she did, she was offered, just so you know.
Well, I knew that that arrangement had somehow been worked out, but I wasn't sure, and I do appreciate, especially for the record, having that clarified. Because we do need to be serious about it. I don't want to count anybody out of anything, and I know that, you know, the argument that says if something is expensive, we don't run away from it is also true. And so, you know, I don't want us to be saying that and having people think that, well, we're just thinking that, you know, it's just too expensive or that kind of thing. Fatosh, did you want the floor?
Yes. I'm don't have any confusion in my mind because of my belief in grant access. If the governmental agents, including the governor, if I need a piece of document and if I need it in Braille, I believe that they need to provide it for me. And sign language is the same kind of an access for a deaf person. I really don't have any, I cannot separate those two from each other. I think by not demanding this kind of an access for the blind individual as much as sign and Braille, I think we are covering up a lot of, covering up for those agents, including the government.
This is Mary, and I'd also like to make an addition to what Katosh says, and that's that.
Excuse me,
talking
this
about.
Is Val. Mary, could you please speak up, because we can't.
Okay, this is Mary, and I'd like to make an addition to what Fatosh is saying, and that's that the cost of an interpreter would be more than the average private person could afford. It is not a cost such as buying a Braille slate stylus, or, you know, it's a cost that most people could not afford if they had to pay for it privately, and it would have to come out of their pocket if there was no government funding for it. But I would submit to Barbara that maybe she would have a better understanding of the situation if she imagined herself as chairman of the board tomorrow, but suddenly she couldn't hear. Would she then ask for interpreter access, or would she resign from the board because she didn't know what was going on at the meeting?
Well, the first thing I would do would be to want to get services so that I would know what's available and that kind of thing, you know, that business of the what-if-ing is, you know, I don't think, when people do that, when they imagine what would be the case if they suddenly lost their sight, usually, you know, the fear factor takes over or whatever. And, you know, I have had short periods of time when I was not able to hear because of some kind of, I don't know, sinus thing that I had, and I was not beyond the place of looking for options. So I know that that's what I would do first, would be to look for options and to try to find out, you know, what they are and how I could get at them. So I do know that that is what I would personally do.
Barbara?
Yes.
One part of what you were talking about was the fact that we don't have interpreters at these meetings. It's been a while since I actually have read our notices, because I just know somebody smarter than me gets them out and gets them posted when they need to be. So remind me, do we not at the end of each posting of our public meetings have a sentence or two that says, if you need accommodations, to contact us? If we don't say that, we really should be. I was thinking we did, but honestly, I haven't looked at them in a while, so I don't know. But do we say that?
This is Val. In the notice that goes to the paper, no. A public notice that I do online through the state of Nebraska with us.
Oh, okay.
But the notice in the actual newspaper does not.
Well, I would say we need to have that language in wherever it's posted. Newspaper, Newsline, Radio Talking Book, the website, and the state. I think that really is a requirement. And for, so that you know, when we have staff meetings, other than the short office meeting Nancy mentioned, either management team or state staff meetings where we have deaf-blind staff person in attendance, we do provide interpreters during those meetings, even if it's a three-day meeting. And so we certainly could and will provide an interpreter if it's requested. I think it's reasonable to say that the people have to request it, so we're not scheduling interpreters routinely when no one who would use sign language would be present, you know, but we definitely need to be doing that.
Also, I think it's important that people contact us, because the every interpreter and every need is different. Not every deaf person, I mean, might be hand on hand, it might be just sign. So there are interpreters with different services that I think it's important that we know who's coming to provide the right interpreter.
That's right.
Yes, I agree. And I think that the issue here was not whether there should be interpreters or not. You know, I think we need to be sure that we're clarifying the issue. That wasn't the issue. The issue is whether or not the governor's office should be expected to have some kind of line item kind of budget amount made available for that kind of thing. What they said to us at the Deafblind Week proclamation ceremony was that they didn't get the request soon enough. Now, you know, the request had been put in at the beginning of April, as I understand it, and this ceremony was in June. What they said to Cheryl and to me was that if a request was put in January, when they do the budgeting, that they would try to be sure that there was money available for that. The confusion then partly was, you know, how much, how many people would be likely to do that, and then, you know, my mind went into, okay, what should the expectations be for whoever is doing it?
Barbara?
Yes.
Well, first of all, I don't think we have to wonder about the governor's responsibility, because that is the law. You know, ADA says that public institutions need to make reasonable accommodations. And Tanya Wendell was contacted by Cheryl Paul, and she did, in an email address, I don't know how many people got that, did give her opinion that the governor was obligated to make accommodations. You know, and I do think that most agencies don't typically provide interpreters at routine functions unless there's a request. You know, usually that within a reasonable amount of time before, to expect that the request be made almost a half a year before, I think is unusual. You know, and I do think also the governor's office has the ability to respond to discretionary types of things. I believe at the same time that they, or close to the same time as the proclamation ceremony, there was also a former governor who had died, and there was some observation that I'm sure required some discretionary use of funds that was not budgeted at the beginning of the year. You know, I think reasonable accommodations are those types of things that happen, and you can't always plan on those things. And I think the message is that that was being sent to deafblind people is that you know, you're not welcome. You know, that's the kind of the feeling that I had. You know, the proclamation, this might have been something that was not thought of at the beginning of the year, and a request was made for a proclamation ceremony, in which case there might be, that might be scheduled, and the governor and a deafblind person might want to come, and there's no fun, you know. I think the message that was being sent was not good. That's all.
This is Pearl.
Yes.
One of the things I understood when the exchange with the governor's office was first starting was that they were saying, our office is not responsible because this is not something our office scheduled. This is something you have requested us to do, and so we're obliging, we're doing our part by having the ceremony and proclaiming the Deafblind Awareness Week, but that you, the requester, are the ones responsible. And I don't know where that really fits in with what ADA really requires or not, but I know at one point that is what the governor's office was saying.
And there's also a question of how far can the federal ADA law bind the state on certain things, because under 11th Amendment, that's a problem too.
That's right, yeah.
This is Carlos. I missed part of the discussion, so I'm going to say what I'm thinking, and if I'm repeating what somebody else said, I apologize. I'm thinking more in terms of political impact. I think maybe, you know, we need to think about not making the governor's office mad for the relationship that it does help us, and at the same time try to educate them, and I don't know where to draw the line. So what I'm trying to say is not to be too pushy with the issue with them, but try to educate them somehow. You know, the governor's office might tell, or the governor might tell Dr. Banza, here, Pearl, can you pay for this? We are not supposed to, but maybe we would, meaning the agency, right? So I just wanted to bring that to the table.
I'm a little bit sorry Cheryl didn't accept the offer, because then you would have had a precedent set. And you could look back to that precedent and say, well, you did this in this situation, so I think you're obligated to do it, and you'd have something to go by.
No, the offer she didn't accept for having an interpreter was not with the governor's office. That was...
No, that was with our commission board.
She spoke to our board.
Oh, that was it.
Yeah,
I thought it was the governor,
No.
Right. Different situation.
Yeah. And certainly, can I jump back in? You know, I think Carlos makes a good point, and Barbara referred to this as well. We do need to be respectful of the process and how it all works. And governor's office could very easily defer to us and say, so, you know, every time a deafblind person requested an interpreter for any event, not just the Deafblind Proclamation, but they might be interested in everything else in the state too. You know, they could call us up and say, okay, you're the agency for the blind, you need to take care of this. And I do know one step is that Cheryl has it on her calendar for the very first day that in January, she's going to get that request in. So that may be one part of how our side, we are making every effort to accommodate what they've said we need to do. You know, maybe that's, I don't know if that's...
I think we should, since, you know, that's, she should do that, but if she gets back from the governor's office guff or, you know, resistance, then I think we should write a letter and do it tactfully and diplomatically and forcefully, because, you know, you can, where do you draw the line? I mean, you know, if interpreters is the same as Braille. I mean, we have Braille agendas in front of us, and it's, you know, if we needed interpreters, then we need interpreters. And if the governor's going to defer to the commission, then that gives us, you know, leverage to ask for more money for this,
right?
Because we're not getting money for such things. And so it's, I think it should be done. And if, you know, if Cheryl, by applying early enough is enough, then great. But if she runs into resistance, then I think we should weigh in and, you know, if it does any good or not, but, you know, we should weigh in.
And this is Mary, and I think that something perhaps additional could be done too, and that's find a blind, deaf management intern or somebody who's interested in going into government to either volunteer or have some paid employment in the governor's office where they have daily contact with this person. Because a lot of times where this kind of attitude stems from is just an ignorance of a person's situation and kind of a ability to distance yourself and say, well, somebody else will take care of that, that person in a different planet, not mine. And I think it would be good if they have some real close contact with a person who's dealing with these issues on a daily basis, who can also contribute their talents to that office. I think that would be, out of that would spring a lot of other things.
Mark Stewart, how's the time?
If you're talking about cementing some friendly relations, I don't think you can do it by occasional contact with people who are totally unfamiliar with the issues, which is what that sounds like.
Okay, well that, you know, I do appreciate the feedback. You know, as I say, I really understand, I think, the issue, and never certainly intended to either imply or say that I didn't think that people ought to be able to have interpreters, or that someone shouldn't be responsible to see to it that they are available. My quandary had to do with if the governor's office were to say to this arm of government, we're saying that that is your responsibility. Yes, we agree that it ought to happen. We have agreed to do the proclamation, to have that as part of the ceremony, and that is what we're doing to acknowledge that this is an important issue. You know, how far do we want to press that? You know, and I agree too that 6 months is a long time ahead of time to need to know something of that kind. But is it the consensus of the board then that we see what happens when Cheryl?
I think you put it to, you know, it doesn't have to be all legalistic, it's moral too. I mean,
oh, yeah.
It makes
absolutely
a mockery of the whole proclamation, yeah, if
well,
the governor is not going to provide an interpreter. Then what's the sense of the proclamation is completely empty and meaningless, and we, you know, meaningless and empty gestures are something I don't think do us any good, and
you're right.
So put your money where your mouth is. If you think this proclamation means anything, then this is the next, and this is part of that.
They do have discretionary funds that they can use. There's no doubt about that. Wouldn't be a big hardship on the governor's office. I don't think they'd have to eat beans for a month to pay for it.
I just think if Cheryl gets guff, I think we should just take it up at that point. I think, personally,
okay.
I think we should weigh in.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense to me. I appreciate the interaction. Always learning, I hope. And you know, that certainly does make sense to me. And I think we're really very fortunate to have someone like Cheryl who is not only persistent, but friendly about it.
Yes.
You know, when we were at the proclamation and Bob Deaton was there too and was also persistent with people, but friendly about it. And, you know, I don't think that anybody there anyway was feeling like they were being badgered or anything. And, you know, Nancy Fleurel was there too, and that kind of support from staff people, I think, is also very, very good, because I think that, I hope that the people who weren't there because they weren't able to have someone be there to interpret know that the support is not lacking on the part of the commission staff. And I think that people probably do know that. And I wouldn't want them to think that we as a board aren't supportive either. I'm, you know, like I said, trying to figure out, because we always do have to decide how do we most completely get what it is that we're after and move things forward at the same time. So I appreciate everybody's input. Okay, the next item is the staff survey results.
Okay, we had a drop in the people, the staff that responded to the survey this year. We had 18, I think last year was 24, 25. But the input that we got was very good. We're getting more people to make comments, not just fill out the survey, but actually explain why they went for one choice rather than another choice, which is always good because sometimes it's confusing because it'll look like, oh, the staff person seems this way and all of a sudden in another place it's another way. I really appreciate that, and as much work as it is to compile that surveys, I really like doing it because you go through these very quickly the first time and look at the responses, and then you go down and compile it. It starts having another meeting totally. I think 18 is still a good response, but I really like, I'd like our goal to be that every staff member would participate. If you don't feel comfortable answering all the questions, you know, answer as many as you do feel comfortable with. And you know that if you write in any comments at all, that they are going to the board and they're not going anyplace else, so you don't need to feel uncomfortable about that. But the comments we got this year, I don't know about the rest of the board, but I felt like they were helpful and suggestive, and things that we need to work on and things that we're doing well. So I'd like to thank the staff for the ones that chose to fill them out. Thank them very much for doing so, because it's very helpful to us, because it's difficult for us to know on a day-to-day basis the things that are happening at the commission, and we need to keep up on that so we know how things are going. And I know this was a difficult year because of the budget constraints that we have, and so, you know, we heard some of those kinds of comments too, and it's always, you know, it's important that we do that and, you know, let everybody, let us know how they feel about what's happening there.
I think next year, to get 100% response, we should have a provision that everybody that responds, Nancy will give a cake to.
Thank you very much. And Bob Burns will be paying for all these cakes.
I will taste each and every one and make sure they are up to
spec.
Sure.
Yeah. This is your, you do not say what size.
Yeah, that you ever just found the loophole of cupcake.
Yeah. This is true. You didn't say the size, did you?
Yeah,
you know, that might could be arranged. We'll see how many we do.
We'll see if we can get it on a cupcake. Maybe the next year we'll have to go larger.
Well, yes, we do appreciate the responses, and we should get the actual numbers of which response was what. We need to get those sent out after this meeting. We have said to people that we won't circulate the comments, but we do think that there's some value in circulating the, you know, just what, how the different things were rated. So, so if you'll get that to me, Nancy, I can get it to Pearl and we can get that sent out.
Okay, I'm not sure that I still have it.
I do. Okay, so I'll just do that, and we'll just skip that step.
I knew I could count on you.
I'm pretty sure I still do. My computer's always kind of unpredictable.
I'm not sure. Maybe I do, maybe I don't.
And the other thing, I think, it's just to be for the public record, that when we don't infer dissatisfaction, we infer satisfaction. So if you're content, then you figure things are good. I'm not going to take the time to answer this. But so we infer satisfaction. So if that's not the impression people want to make by not responding, then you're wrong. You need to respond and tell us otherwise.
Exactly.
This is Carlos.
Yes.
Bob, I think if you guys can send a letter to the staff just expressing what you are saying, we'll get to everybody, not all the staff is here.
Yeah, we could put that in the next, you know, kind of the cover letter that goes out with the survey. We could put something like that.
Madam Chair?
Yes?
This is Patosh. Although I really do like get the results, the numbers, whatever, but at the same time, I feel very uncomfortable because I feel like we are infringing in close private evaluation, which we don't for any other step. And I think maybe you as a board need to think about, are you evaluating her for our satisfaction, or are you evaluating that as a group leading this commission yourself? And should we as staff satisfy that you rehire her and find her satisfactory? Well, we need to accept that.
I think maybe we're having a point of confusion. We don't send out the part that has to do with Dr. Van Zandt's evaluation. We're talking about the number 1 through 21 survey, the staff survey. Those results are, and those have to do with the agency as a whole. There are some things that do, I guess, you know, maybe I'm the one who's confused. There are some things on there. I think I understand your point at this point. I thought you were talking about the things that we do at the, you know, the part at the beginning.
No,
that relates to that.
About,
you're talking about the parts,
yes,
of the survey
it is,
that
it
do.
It is related to Pearl also. Those answers, you know, most of them are related.
This is Pearl. Yeah, I think that the most of the staff, the way I've always understood it, is that when they get that survey, that is their opportunity to comment on my work.
Exactly.
And then okay, some of it is a snapshot of the commission. I mean, like,
yeah.
You think the commission is moving the director. I mean, some of them specifically ask about the director, and maybe, you know, Patosha's point, you know, taken, that maybe those could be, you know, left out, I guess. You know, you know, I can see both sides of it. It's
I can too, because our intent is to get a pulse of the agency, and that's the part that we would like to, you know, return
you
feedback
on.
But we can, you know, I know what you're saying. What do you guys think?
Well, you know, on the other hand, if an employee, you know, people being suspicious and stuff, and they think things are just horrible and rotten, and they see that, you know, 17 out of 18 people said, you know, gave a number 1 on question number 2, and they gave a number 5, then does that help that employee see that, well, maybe?
No.
Or probably
is that,
not.
Yeah.
They will say that the other 25 talk the way I did.
Yeah, I mean, it helps us do the evaluation.
Yes,
whether or not
does.
It helps you, that's really for you to say.
I feel very uncomfortable, you know, as a staff person to get that result. I really feel like when you send an evaluation, I evaluate the whole thing. Even at the commissioners, because it is a relationship that Pearl has with you as the commissioners too. And I really feel comfortable getting any kind of result.
Yeah, I feel the BLIND part is our responsibility, and I really question when I go down the answer sometimes as to what the purpose is. For example, do you feel that the commissions, I don't know exactly how it works, but it relates to the commissioners, and I just don't see where that even belongs in there at all. Then they're grading us, and we're not up for grading.
Well, they're really not grading us as a kid, since do they feel we're accessible? I mean, that's...
Yeah,
that's,
which, and I want to know that. Yeah. I mean, to me, that's one of the more,
it has nothing to do with evaluating the executive director.
But it is supposed to be. The other part, maybe clear enough about...
Then we shouldn't be doing that at that particular time. I agree with Patosha.
Maybe we should send the things out at separate...
Yeah, no, that'd be okay.
I'm not
but
sure.
Even there are some questions that are directly related to Pearl in the other.
Yes, there are. Because to get a pulse of the commission, you know, which is what we have been wanting to do, I mean, the person who heads something does to some degree set the tone whether they even think about it or not. I mean, that's just part of what happens. And so to get the pulse, we do need to know some of those kinds of things.
I don't think that I'm the same way with you.
Yeah.
I'm agreeing that you should know that, evaluate Pearl. We shouldn't know that. That's not true.
Yeah, and I was just separating, or trying to, the getting the pulse of the agency from the actual evaluation. And maybe we're not doing that with this particular tool, I don't know.
I know when I was at the Attorney General's office, I'd like heck if to be evaluated for them to go out, ask all the other attorneys and secretaries, well, you know, this, that, and the other thing about him. I wouldn't like it. And I can see where the staff's coming on that.
I have another comment, Squirrel. I hadn't really thought about the information going back out to staff as a good thing or a bad thing before, but I do know I've thought on occasion maybe I should fill this thing out, but I never have because I have perceived that it was, you know, my evaluation and the more broad picture was done at the same time because it still did reflect on, you know, my role. So I've thought about, well, gee, maybe I should send one in, but I never have. So, but maybe if it were done at a separate time, I don't know.
I think you should evaluate yourself. I think you know what kind of job you're doing.
Right.
And I think that's a valuable input also.
Yeah, and maybe I will from now on.
The one question that, you know, was kind of confusing for me, I think it was the last one, how do employees evaluate commissioners? Like, are we accessible? You know, like, for accessible for interests or suggestions or concerns or what? What are we asking?
Accessible means they can communicate with us, or
all of those things.
Yeah. And to some degree, any survey is going to be what somebody, and that's why we want comments, because that way we can figure out.
Yeah. That's why I always
do the same thing.
But we've said several times, though, that as far as the commission's concerned, we can't resolve any of those problems anyway, because they have to go up through the command to the executive director. Then I guess they can go on to the union or wherever else, but they can't come to us.
But in our job description, we said we can't deal with employee matters.
Well, there's more than just personnel matters.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Right, and I think it's very helpful to, you know, if you have
comments that, you know, you can relate those on, without saying names, relate those on to Pearl to say, this looks like a place of, you know, of concern that we need to, you need to delve into a little bit more, I think.
And we do that. Yeah,
exactly. Right. But I mean, that's part of what I like. But, you know, I don't know, you know, now that you guys mentioned it, if, you know, the accessibility to commissioners, if that needs to be there. I want to know, like Barb and Bob and everybody else is, if we are accessible, because I don't want to feel so high and mighty that people can't approach me and say, you know, I have a problem here, or can we do this, or, you know, comments, suggestions, everything that's possible. I want to be accessible.
But then it stops there, see, it doesn't, it can't do any good to anybody because...
Well, it can, because, because we can then suggest to the executive director that several people have suggested to us that this might be a good idea. And, you know, then it's in Pearl's hands as to what happens, but at least the suggestion is there, and Pearl's always open to suggestions. So, and sometimes it's just a point where you don't, you know, maybe a very obvious thing, but it just didn't occur to you, you know. And so when somebody comes up with a suggestion, I'm always, to me, that's helpful.
Well, what didn't occur to me was that this was going to be a long discussion, and so now we're getting further off the time. But we do need to be, what we do need to decide here, though, is are we going to, you know, send out the results or are we not? I mean, that is a legitimate question, and I think we ought to answer that today, so that I don't
No, I think we should send out the results.
I'm for sending it out, too, because I think it's important for the staff to know, you know, which page they're on. You know, if they're mostly on one page, or if they're mostly on the other page, or if they're all over the place. I mean, either one of those three places is means something.
In both ways, but I guess the point that I want to, that I think is important is, you know, the people that don't answer the survey, if they want me to have a, you know, if they want that to send a message, they need to know that the message that I'm hearing is everything's, this is basically the results we got, and this is what we think is the pulse, and if you think it's different, then if we don't hear about it, then we don't know, and you know, we're not inferring dissatisfaction. But that's my thought is to give them the results to say this is what you told us, and if you, employee, don't think this is true, then next year you better register your opinion. But I can see the other side too, that it's
her evaluation results, and I can see that side of it also. So I guess I would go and defer to Pearl that if since it is personal, if you would think it best that we could cut out the questions that are specific to you and give more of the ones that are to the commissioner. Have you ever thought that this is a breach of confidence or?
I have never been bothered by it going out, honestly. What discussion, when especially, well, the extremes, one side or the other, either the really pleased side or the really disgusted side, that gets talked about. You know, you hear that stuff in the hallway anyway, so everybody knows what people are thinking. So I guess I really appreciate the concern, and Patosh in particular, the concern you have expressed. Because I have seen it as my personal evaluation, but I think it's fine for people to know what it is. So I really haven't had a problem with it.
This is Valkyrie. Can I just make a suggestion?
Sure.
And then it can be up to the board. With a background in HR, I can definitely see where Patosh is coming. But before you make a decision today, how would you feel about contacting Dave Robinson, who's a personnel officer, and asking him his thoughts and feelings as far as from the HR standpoint?
Well, we've released this, I think, every year.
I'm not saying that you're jeopardizing any confidential information or whatever, but I would recommend you contact him before making a determination.
Well, I don't think them not knowing the results until next meeting is going to cause despair. And so we could ask Dave. I mean, that seems fine. I mean, obviously we re-upped Pearl, so we couldn't have been too concerned about her. So
I'm not saying it even has to wait to be discussed at the next meeting. You contact him. Find out from a legal standpoint what you can and can't say or should not do or whatever. You email back and forth, you could have it decided in a day, I would assume, and then still make your decision.
Well, there's never any legal questions involved, actually.
No.
Just general questions.
So, that's just my suggestion.
The fact that we've done it for a while, nobody's come after us, suggests that maybe there isn't a big legal problem, you know. But I do appreciate your, you know, you're saying that, and I, you know, I'd be glad to do that. I won't, though. You know, I don't think that it's a good idea for us to make, you know, decisions based on emails going back and forth, you know, that make a decision between meetings. That hasn't worked out real well for us so far. So I'm not inclined to do that, that part of it. But I think that we, I mean, I'm certainly willing to talk to Dave Robinson and get his input and, you know, email people or have him do that. Or
let's do that, and then we can decide.
And we can decide how.
And this is useful because I've never even considered Fatosha's angle, and there's some validity to it, and it's.
Because what we were attempting to do was, in that part of it, was to get a pulse of the commission, as it says right on the survey, that's what our purpose is. That part of it is not intended as an evaluation, but I can see where some of those things can be thought of that way, because also we do say in, you know, the part of what we're getting this information for is because of that. So it all does make sense, and we're a work in process, so this is part of what we'll do. And you know, we love to have this kind of input, and so, you know, thank you everybody who is giving it to us. And I will,
Barbara, may I suggest that you kind of come to a consensus that if Mr. Robinson does not believe that there's any real problem with the way that you've been doing it, that you will go ahead and release the results at that point, you know, rather than if he says, well, no, the way you've been doing it is fine, for it to have to wait until November to be brought up again. Could you do that?
Is that okay, guys?
It's okay with me, sure.
Okay. Sure.
If he knows there's some problems, then that's worth another discussion and waiting. That's what I was thinking.
Okay. All right. Okay, we're almost at the time we wanted to be done, and we're still not done. Okay, the next thing is the list of NCBVI board operational motions, which also goes along with the following item, which is the new commissioner's packet. You know, we've talked about that we're going to be developing that. I think we need to do something more concrete than say we're going to do that. I want to thank Bob for sending the motions that he gleaned as things that we want to be sure that we include. Did everybody get that?
Yes.
Okay.
I know I didn't get it. Did you send it to me as well?
No, I guess I didn't.
Okay. I would like to.
Okay.
If you wouldn't mind.
Okay. Yeah, it'd be easy enough.
Thank you.
Forward to you.
I guess I didn't look at the field enough on that.
I just sent it to the commissioners.
Okay, so that then you'll send that to Pearl. I mean, we could go over them, or we can not do that. And
well, you know, like some of the things, like when we originally established that, you know, we're going to evaluate Pearl and the tools that we use. I mean, that's, you know, kind of just by, that's what we've done. I mean, if future boards would want to change that, they could. I mean, so I didn't include that, but I thought the, you know, I think there was like four of them I think I dug out that wouldn't be evident from just what we do all the time. Some of the things I'm not even sure we needed motions to do, but we did anyway. one of them had to do, and I didn't even, couldn't remember.
Well, I have them with me, so if you want to know what the particular ones were, we can certainly do that.
Well, you probably, I mean, there's only, they're pretty short. You probably could read them pretty fast.
That's probably a good idea.
Okay, the May 8th, 2004, Burns made a motion and was seconded by Arrester to have Van Zandt notify the board whenever a grievance process begins and to inform the board of any grievances which have reached the level of her specifically becoming involved in the process. The motion passed unanimously. May 17, 2003, materials update. Chairman Walker listed materials received by commissioners since the February meeting. Afterward, Burns moved that in the future, the materials list be attached to the minutes rather than being read during the meeting. The motion was seconded by Arrester. The vote was unanimous in favor of the motion. Two interests which led to discussion were correspondence about voice-activated phones and the resolution of the matter of Dr. Van Zandt's informing commissioners rather than seeking their approval for sick leave and vacation time. July 20th, 2002, concern about minutes. Concern has been raised about whether or not